The following is presented to you by Maranatha Bible Church of Comstock Park, Michigan. For more information, go to mbcmi.org.
All right, well, glad to have you all here this morning. So we're going to be continuing on in our study of the spiritual disciplines. But before we begin, let's just commit this time to the Lord. Father, we thank you so much already for the wonderful morning we've had together and just the time in your word. I'm just going to look at 2 Corinthians and just our identification with Christ. And I love that. Our motivation really proves our identification. So I pray that we would just be motivated as those who have been bought by the blood of Christ. We are now a new creation. The old is now done away with, and the new has come. And Father, I pray that we would be living now as those who have been born again, who are now dead to sin and alive in Christ. And Father, as we look at these spiritual disciplines, I pray that this would be true of us as well, that our motivation behind these spiritual disciplines would not just be simply to be checking off a box, but Lord, that we would be pursuing these things for the purpose of godliness. So Lord, pray that you would give me clarity, wisdom from your word, and that this would be a beneficial time for us now. Pray that you would bless it. Pray that you would be honored and glorified by all that is said here. Love you. Pray this in your name. Amen. Yeah, so we're going to be continuing on. This is week two. So we're going to be discussing the discipline of prayer. Morning, guys. So just on your first page here, kind of a more brief summary, just as an introduction, if you weren't here last week, or just by way of reminder, as we're looking at these spiritual disciplines, we want to be understanding first what they are and why they're necessary in the life of a believer. So we have defined them here as those practices found in Scripture that promote spiritual growth among believers in the gospel of Jesus Christ. As you'll see today, we're going to be looking at prayer. Next week, we're going to be looking at serving and evangelism. Be off for the fourth, and then coming back for Bible reading and study, and closing out with worship. But we see again, just as a reminder, why these spiritual disciplines are necessary. We want to lay this foundation from Scripture, showing the importance and the necessity of these things. You know, why do we need to be growing in discipline? So we see first that as believers, we're called to pursue godliness. You know, Romans 8:29, we have been predestined to be conformed to the image of his Son, to the image of Christ. We are called to Christ-likeness. And then number two, we see that spiritual disciplines are a means by which we can pursue godliness. You know, we see that from 1 Timothy 4. I said last week, that can kind of be our foundational verse as we're going through all of these disciplines. We want to be pursuing discipline for the purpose of godliness. So I just want to have that in our minds as we continue to go through these things. And then just that sub-point A, remembering, though, that it's impossible to do these things on our own. You know, we're called to be the ones pursuing godliness, but we cannot do this apart from God's grace and the ministry of the Holy Spirit in our lives. So again, just as a way of reminder and introduction, I just want us to have those things in our mind as we go through this. So looking at page two, we're going to talk again, as I said, on the discipline of prayer this week. And again, I may sound like I'm beating a dead horse here, but you know, right at the top of there, I want us to remember that we're doing these things, we're pursuing these spiritual disciplines for the purpose of godliness. So with that in mind, I want us to look to the Word first to kind of frame our time and show the necessity of pursuing prayer as a discipline in the life of a believer. So first we see that there's an expectation of prayer. Now, as we look to the Word, it speaks clearly to the fact that as believers, prayer is not something that's optional. It's not something that, you know, if we think we might need it today, maybe that's something that we'll do. You know, maybe we'll go to the Lord in prayer. No, we see that this is something, first, that's commanded in Scripture of us. You know, we know that it's the will of God for us to be in prayer. You know, Colossians 4:2 says, devote yourselves to prayer, keeping alert in it with an attitude of thanksgiving. 1 Thessalonians 5, pray without ceasing. Philippians 4, in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. So we see both, you know, the extent of our prayer, what we should be praying for, in everything, And we see how often we should be praying. Not that, you know, when we see pray without ceasing, that doesn't mean that if you're not praying right now, this moment, you're in sin. But that should be characterizing our lives as believers. So we see not only is it a command in Scripture, we see that there's an expectation from Christ when he's discussing prayer in Matthew 6. So actually, if you have your Bibles, go ahead and turn to Matthew 6. So this is right in the middle of the Sermon on the Mount. And I think we joked about last week, you know, we might be here this time next year, maybe. But in Matthew 6, we see Christ discussing prayer. And we see here, starting in verse 5, that the first phrase he uses, when you pray. It's not if you pray or, you know, if you decide to pray today. It's when you pray. There's an expectation for believers that we are going to be in prayer. And we see that again in verse 6, but you, when you pray. Verse 7, and when you are praying. And then finally in verse 9, pray then in this way. So there's no wiggle room here. There's no if you're going to pray. There's an assumption that now as believers, our lives are going to be characterized by pursuing this discipline of prayer. And we see this in Christ's life as well. And, you know, we see that he often went and prayed. He would go off early in the morning and go to a secluded place, and he would pray. We see in the garden, you know, before he is going to go to Calvary, he is praying to the Lord. You know, we see that if Christ is praying to the Lord this often, how much more do we as believers who are not Christ, how much more do we need to be in prayers? We see this example from Christ's life that we should be characterized as believers with our lives being in prayer always to the Lord. So we see not only that it's a command, we see the expectation of prayer in a believer's life. We also see that it characterized the early church. I just have a few examples in here from the book of Acts, but in each one of these, it talks about they are continually devoting themselves with one mind to prayer. In Acts 2, devoting themselves to the apostles' teaching and to fellowship, to the breaking of bread, and to prayer. Acts 6, devoting ourselves to prayer and to the ministry of the word. So we see that this wasn't just something that they thought about, you know, maybe I'll do this today. No, they were devoting themselves to this discipline. It characterized their lives. So any questions on that before we move forward? So we see this, just this call, this command, this expectation within Scripture that we should be in prayer. But looking at page 3, so though we do understand that this is commanded of us, we understand that there is an expectation that we should be praying. We don't want this to just become some kind of check off the box, legalistic, you know, I'm told to do it, so I'm going to do it mentality. You know, we understand that as believers, we have been both saved and sustained by God's grace, and we are now completely dependent on that grace in our lives. And we see from Hebrews 4:16, you know, I love this verse. It prayer is a means by which we receive that mercy and find grace. You know, it says, therefore, let us approach the throne of grace with confidence so that we may receive mercy and find grace for help at the time of our need. So we understand that that we as believers need prayer. And we see that this also means that we worship the Lord. We're developing our relationship with him, and we're displaying obedience to that call and to that command from Scripture. So I just put a few here. There's probably more that we could add, but just some ways that this fills some needs in our life as believers. First, it helps us reflect on God's character. You know, as we study more on who God is, you know, I think both men's training and women's training both went through the systematics. And as we go through and we study and we understand more of who the Lord is, as we read his word and more is revealed to us about his character and his attributes, that should turn us then to praise and worship of him in our prayers. You know, we see in Psalm 100, enter his gates with thanksgiving, his courtyards with praise. Give thanks to him, bless his name, for the The Lord is good. His mercy is everlasting, and his faithfulness is to all generations. And I love this verse from Romans. You know, Paul has just gone through and talked about the gospel and justification by faith and the fact that God is not done with Israel. He has a plan for Israel. And just in the middle of this, he just breaks out in praise to God. He says, "Oh, the depths of the riches, both of the wisdom and knowledge of God, how unsearchable are his judgments and unfathomable his ways." And it's amazing that the more that we start to learn and understand about who God is, that fuels our prayer. It fuels our praise to the Lord. And prayer is a means by which God has given us to then take our understanding and give it back to him in praise. So we see next, not only does it help us reflect on God's character, again, I mentioned this earlier, but it reminds us of our dependence on God. And as believers, not only is our salvation a gift from the Lord, as we see in Ephesians 2, our sanctification is empowered by God's grace in our lives. We know that he who began a good work in you will complete it until the day of his coming. And we see in John 15:5 our absolute dependence on Christ. It says, "I am the vine and you are the branches. The one who remains in me and I in him bears much fruit, for apart from me, you can do nothing." We see an example of a prayer here from Psalm 4. "Answer me when I call, O God of my righteousness. You have relieved me in my distress. Be gracious to me and hear my prayer." So as we understand who God is, we reflect on his character and his attributes, and we see how much we as believers are dependent upon his grace and his mercy in our lives. You know, our prayer is another means of bringing that out and helping us to understand that better. And we go to the Lord constantly, and we'll talk about this later, but we bring our needs before him. We ask for grace and for strength and for wisdom. We know that this all comes from the Lord, and prayer is a means that he has given us to be able to do that, to recognize our dependence on him and his grace. So we see next, it cultivates a heart of thankfulness. As we reflect on the truths of the gospel and the Lord's provision in our lives, it's another means to praise him in our prayers. You know, we talked about this last week with the discipline of stewardship. You know, we own nothing. We are simply stewards of what God has entrusted to us, what he has blessed us with. So as we understand that, knowing that all things come from the Lord, we should then be taking that back to him in praise. In our prayers, he's given us so much, much more than we deserve. Not least of which is the gospel, the truth that, you know, Christ came to this earth and took the wrath that we deserved for our sin. He took our punishment so that we would never, never have to taste the wrath of God from now into eternity. I mean, even that should be enough to fuel our thankfulness in praise and prayer to God. But then on top of that, he's given us even more, much more than we could ever deserve. And it says in Psalm 103, "Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, my soul, and do not forget any of his benefits." And then Ephesians 1:3, you know, Paul opens by saying, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ." And goes on to describe our adoptions as sons and the atonement through Christ's blood. But it's just amazing how prayer is just this opportunity for us to really take our eyes off of ourselves. You know, we often, you know, might think of prayer as a way of God fulfilling our needs and our desires. We go to him when we need something. But some of the most amazing things that God gives us prayer for is to take our eyes off of ourselves and look to him, look to his character and his attributes, and just come with a thankful heart, with selfless motives to the throne of grace. And it's just such an amazing thing that he's given us, this grace that he's given us in our lives to be able to just focus on him more. So we see at the top of page 4, it also gives us an opportunity to confess sin. You know, we know that as believers, you know, as Bob mentioned this morning, you know, we are no longer dead in our trespasses and sins. We're now dead to sin and alive in Christ, but we understand that even as believers, we're going to sin. We're not perfect. And we see in 1 John 1, 8 and 9, if we say we have no sin, we are deceiving ourselves, and the truth is not in us. But it doesn't end there. It continues on. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and righteous, so that he will forgive our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. So we have this opportunity to confess our sins to the Lord, and then because he is faithful and he is righteous, he will forgive us our sins on the basis of what Christ accomplished. And prayer is the means by which we do that. I mean, the Lord knows that we've sinned before we come to him in prayer and confess these things, but you know, we see here that it's a command. You know, we must come to him and confess our sins and then receive that forgiveness, not because we deserve it or we've earned it, but because of what Christ accomplished for us. But prayer is the means by which we can do this. Again, we see in Psalm 130, out of the depths I have cried to you, Lord. Lord, hear my voice. Let your ears be attentive to the sound of my pleadings. If you, Lord, were to keep account of guilty deeds, Lord, who could stand? But there is forgiveness with you, so that you may be revered. So we see not only do we have the opportunity to confess our sin, it allows us to bring our needs before God. And we talked about, yes, prayer is an amazing grace to us that allows us to take our eyes off of ourselves, but that does not mean that we can't bring our needs before the Lord. In fact, we see in Philippians 4 just the extent of what can be brought before the Lord in prayer. It says, do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and pleading with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all comprehension, will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. I want you to remember this, that phrase, in everything, because I think possibly as we misunderstand what the purpose of prayer is, we can kind of have this maybe name it and claim it type of mentality, and really anything we think we need will be fulfilled if we bring it to the Lord in prayer. We'll talk about that in a moment, but I just want you to remember that as we continue forward. But we do see here that rather than being anxious about the things that we need, we can bring this to the Lord in prayer, and he will give us his peace. You know, it talks about in Scripture how wonderfully he has clothed the flowers of the field and how he takes care of the birds of the air, and how much more so will he take care of us. You know, so we don't need to be worried about tomorrow. We don't need to be anxious about these things because we know that the Lord is faithful and loves us, and we can bring these concerns and needs to him in prayer. And then again, this verse from Hebrews 4, therefore, let us approach the throne of grace with confidence so that we may receive mercy and find grace for help at the time of our need. So, any questions? All right. So we see, again, not only do we get, not only does it allow us to bring our needs before the Lord, it allows us to bring others' needs before God. And we see that there are commands within Scripture not just to pray for ourselves, and there's examples of people not just praying for themselves, but praying for others. It says in 1 Timothy 2, first of all, then, I urge that requests, prayers, intercession, and thanksgiving be made on behalf of all people, for kings and all those who are in authority, so that we may lead a tranquil and quiet life in all godliness and dignity. In Colossians 1, for this reason also, since the day we heard about it, have not ceased praying for you and asking that you may be filled with the knowledge of his will and all spiritual wisdom and understanding. And I think as you read through the letters of Paul to the different churches in the New Testament, you see that scattered all throughout. And a lot of his introductions, he will say, you know, he's thanking God for, you know, for their progress in the things of the Lord, and that he's been praying for them, and asking that they would pray for him. It's this idea, and really, again, just this expectation that we're going to be praying for one another. Prayer is not just a vehicle by which we bring our own selfish motives before the Lord, but again, it's a means by which we can take our eyes off of ourselves, stop navel-gazing, and be praising God for who he is and bringing others' needs before the Lord. And then lastly here on this list, I have that it helps equip us for spiritual battle. If you remember in Ephesians 6, the last part of Ephesians 6, it talks about, you know, the full armor of God. and the spiritual warfare that we as believers are now a part of. We know that Satan is like a lion who is prowling around and just waiting for someone to devour. But Paul in Ephesians is talking about this armor that we put on, and right after he's done talking about all this armor that we're equipping, he says, "With every prayer and request, pray at all times in the Spirit, and with this in view, be alert with all perseverance and every request for all the saints." And then in Matthew 26, it says, "Keep watching and praying so that you do not come into temptation. The spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak." So as we're in the midst of our spiritual battle, as we're progressing in our sanctification, we see that prayer is a means of grace that the Lord has given us, so that, you know, we can be on alert. We can be praying for wisdom and for strength, and tying that to being in the Word as well, which we'll talk about in a moment. We have these things that are equipping us for this spiritual warfare. So, any questions really on the expectation or the need of prayer in the life of a believer before we move on? Yeah, Gay.
Not really a question, but just something I want to share. That verse in Philippians 4, 6, and 7, about 18 months ago, the Lord allowed me to experience a trial that really exposed a tremendous amount of anxiety in my own heart. And I kept quoting that verse to myself, "Be anxious for nothing, be anxious for nothing." But my heart was so filled with anxiety. And it was about 6 months later, I was reading Philippians, and as Bob said this morning, those little verse marks were not there when the books were written. Verse 5 says, "The Lord is near. Be anxious for nothing." And it was like a light bulb just clicked for me at that point. And the reason we can be free of anxiety is when we know the Lord is near, right with us in those trials. He's not somewhere out there. He's right there with us in it. And that nearness of the Lord can help us to turn over our anxieties.
Yeah, it's good. And one thing I appreciated from the message this morning is, you know, he mentioned that is constant. That will always be true. God's faithfulness does not wane. He's not faithful today and then possibly will be unfaithful tomorrow. You know, as we are putting our faith in the things of this world and kind of distracting ourselves with these things to potentially to get rid of our anxiety, we know that those things aren't going to last. Those things will disappoint us. But we know that the Lord is constant. He is near. So that's a great reminder. Really appreciate that. All right, so looking at page 5, so we kind of have this foundation and understanding of the need for prayer in our lives, but I think probably for younger believers, or those who are maybe newer believers, I think that's one of the things that we can get discouraged about as we're progressing in our walk with the Lord. We get discouraged because we don't feel like we really know how to pray well. And, you know, maybe there's this assumption that when we're saved, it's kind of like the Matrix where they kind of download this information into your brain, and then all of a sudden, whew, I know how to pray. But no, we understand that this is something, really, with all of these spiritual disciplines, this is something that we have to work on and we have to learn. It's something that requires hard work. And, you know, we talked about last week, spiritual sweat, understanding, the word discipline that's used in that verse in 1 Timothy. We see even the disciples ask, "Lord, teach us to pray," in Luke 11. So we understand that this is not something that we're automatically going to be, we're not going to be super eloquent all the time. This is something that we need to understand better how to do, and God has provided means for us to do this. And first off, I have here, it may seem, pretty obvious, but the best way to improve in our prayer life is to be praying. It says in Philippians 4, "As for the things you have learned and received and heard and seen in me, practice these things, and the God of peace will be with you." So we understand that as those who are understanding more how we should be praying and what we should be praying for, this is not something that we come with naturally. This is something that needs to be learned. I mean, you could ask, and we have many gifted people here musically, and you can ask them, you know, what's the best way that you learn to play your instrument? It's by playing it, by practicing, and by working hard and being disciplined in this thing. So praying is no exception. You know, for us to be understanding how to pray better, we need to be praying. It's not something that's just going to develop on its own. But secondly, and what I want to spend a little bit more time on, we see that we learn, and we learn prayer by meditating on the scriptures. So as we're growing in our relationship with the Lord, you know, we understand that, you know, this is a relationship. He communicates to us through his word, and then we communicate back with him in prayer. And because of this, we see that really reading the word and prayer really need to go together. These aren't disciplines that can really be separated from one another. They're truly foundational in our lives as believers. Because as we're learning to pray, we'll talk about here in a minute that we need to be praying according to his will, according to the will of God. But how do we understand that? Again, this is not something that as believers, you know, particularly as new believers, we just automatically know everything that we need to know about the will of God. You know, these are things that we need to be studying and meditating on in the scriptures. But God has given us his word so that we can understand these things. You know, it says in Psalm 19, "Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, my rock and my redeemer." This is from Psalm 19. But what came right before this? You know, if you look in Psalm 19, starting in verse 7, from verse 7 to verse 13, it's talking about the word of the Lord. This is, "The law of the Lord is perfect, restoring the soul. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. The precepts of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart. The commandment of the Lord is pure, enlightening the eyes. The fear of the Lord is clean, enduring forever." You know, it just goes on and on. So before he brings this to the Lord and says, you know, may the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in your sight, he understands first the place that the word of God has in him doing that. In that bullet point I have right below there, David's prayers were not his words only, but his meditations. As meditation is the best preparation for prayer, so prayer is the best issue of meditation. Meditation and prayer go together. So we can't really think of these really as separated. As we're growing in our understanding of the word, it's going to then shape and fuel our discipline of prayer. These things are going to grow side by side with one another. And as I mentioned, we need to be, it says in 1 John 5 that we need to pray according to his will. So we need to be those who are abiding in Christ, who seek God's will for us within his word. It says in Romans 12, 1 and 2, "Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, so that you may prove what the will of God is, that which is good and acceptable and perfect." So we are not called to be those that are conformed by the world. We are called to be those who are renewed in our minds through the scriptures, and then therefore are understanding and proving what the will of God is, that which is good and acceptable and perfect. And in John 15, it says, "If you remain in me and my words remain in you, ask whatever you wish and it will be done for you." This is not saying if you're obedient to a point, you can get whatever you want. But we're understanding that as we're reading the word, our will is then being conformed to the will of God, and our understanding of what our prayer should be is being conformed to what's prescribed in Scripture. So then when we bring our prayers before the Lord, they're no longer just our own words, as that quote I gave before. It's our meditations on the Scriptures. We're praying Scripture back to God, and our requests then are going to be according to his will, because our will is then being conformed to the will of God. We're understanding who we should be and what our desires should be as believers. And that fuels our prayer. And then lastly, in 1 John 5:14, "This is the confidence which we have for him, that if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us." So we see that it is crucial that as we're developing in this and pursuing this discipline of prayer, it needs to be going side by side, and I don't want to steal too much thunder from, you know, we're going to be talking about Bible reading and study, so I don't want to take too much away from that, but we still need to understand that these are truly foundational for us as believers, and they need to go hand in hand, because one is going to fuel the other. Any questions on that, or any comments at all?
God has forgiven us and we're justified. And I love Romans 5:1. Therefore, since we have been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. And so, if anyone feels, you know, I've been off the track here and I just don't feel worthy to still come to you, Lord, get over it and get on your knees. I love John. I forget the scripture, 6:37 maybe, where it says, Jesus said, whoever comes to me, I will in no wise cast out. And so just know that you can always come to him no matter what and get right with God because he's forgiven all your sins because he's from the West.
Yeah, I think that could be a great hindrance to our prayer life is feeling ashamed of our sin. But I mean, we understand from Scripture, and we read that verse in 1 John, if we say that we have no sin, we've deceived ourselves. So there's not this expectation of perfection now as a believer. It's an expectation of progression. You know, we're saved to be progressing in our faith in this life, not perfection. We're never going to reach perfection in this life. And we see again, you know, from the Scriptures that God is faithful to forgive us our sins when we come and we confess them before the Lord, not based on our actions, on what we've done, but based, again, on what Christ has accomplished for us. That's really good. Yeah. So I would encourage you guys, you know, if there's something that's on your mind, some sin that you're too ashamed to bring before the Lord, just know that what Christ has accomplished is always going to be bigger than the sin that you've committed. And his forgiveness is always there. As we talked about again this morning, you know, that forgiveness is constant. The Lord is constant. Yeah, Joe.
I think also it's important to remember, too, that we do have access to him, and we thank him for that, we praise him for that, but we also don't want to come before him flippantly. We're still coming before the God of the universe. So have to not say, well,
and I think that's really another benefit of you know, meditating on the character and the attributes of God, because I think that can be really just, you know, we've talked about this in our fear of man and fear of God class, but you know, we don't want our God to be small and for us to be big. We want our God to be big and for us to be small, and to do that we have to understand who it is that we serve and who it is that we're going to in prayer. So yeah, that's good, because there's kind of two ends to that spectrum. You have kind of the maybe taking the revere to an extreme where it's all, you know, maybe to, you know, over the top with that. But then you have the other side where it's just, oh, hey buddy, hey, thought I'd just come by and stop by. You know, I did these things, but it's cool. You know, your son, he did that for me. Thanks, man. Catch you later. No, we can't have those extremes. You know, we need to understand who it is that we're coming before. This is the God of the universe. This is our Lord, our Creator and Sustainer. And there should be reverence in our prayer. That's a good reminder.
I think, Matt, with that too, it's kind of like what Bob said. We need to know the real Jesus.
Right.
And I think sometimes if we have this casual view of Jesus as your buddy or Jesus as your friend in a very casual sense, that's not right. We need to understand the identity of Christ, and like you said, studying the attributes of God and understanding the holiness of God is going to affect how you pray.
Yeah.
But also realizing that we have a great high priest in Christ who gives us access to God, and we can enter the throne room of God with boldness, even realizing that our unholiness, God's holiness, we have access to him through Christ. But that, you've got to have the whole picture to really understand that.
Yeah, and that's why those disciplines of being in the Word and being in prayer can't really be separated, because one is going to spur on the other. All right, so moving on here. So now with all of this, we're kind of just giving names to everything that we've talked about. We've looked at the principles from the Word on our need and the command to pray. We've understand that this is something that we're going to be progressing in as believers, as are all the disciplines that we're going to discuss. So what should be the content of our prayer? You know, we see in Matthew 6:9, Jesus says, pray then this way. And I think it may be a temptation for us to just say, well, I mean, I'm not going to do better than what the Lord told me to pray, so I'm just going to read down this list, I'm going to pray these things, and that's going to be good. But really what we need to understand is that's a model. It's not a template that you just copy and paste into your prayer life, but these should be driving principles and elements of our prayer. We see also, you know, there's models that have been given out, like the ACTS model, you know, adoration, confession, thanksgiving, and supplication. These are good things. These are excellent tools if you're wanting to, develop your prayer life and learn just these different elements that we can bring to God in prayer. But we want these to just be that. We want these to be models. We want these to be things that help us in our understanding, along with our understanding and meditating on the Word, to then be developing our prayer life. Because again, this is not just some mentality of, I just want to check off this box. We have to really examine our hearts and say, okay, what's the motivation? And again, I think that's going to stick with me for a while, Bob. Our motivation, shows our identification. We want to have the right motivation and the right heart as we go to the Lord in prayer. But that being said, so this is probably not a complete list. This is just some things that I thought of. But as we're going to the Lord in prayer, what are some elements that are part of our prayer? And this is going to kind of fit. You might see this is going to kind of fit along with our need, because really the need is going to drive the content of our prayer. So we see praise or adoration. Praying in light of God's attributes and character. Praising God for who He is. We talked about the importance of knowing the God that we're serving. As we go to the Lord in prayer, confessing our sins to the Lord, as we saw in 1 John, if we confess our sins to Him, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us of all unrighteousness. Thanksgiving, we've now praised God for who He is, and now we think about what He's done in our lives. All of the provisions that He's given to us in our lives. Again, thinking back on the truth of the gospel, on what we talked about with stewardship. Everything that we have is a gift of the Lord, so just praising Him and thanking Him for those things. Petition or supplication, so praying for our needs, the needs of our own life, casting our anxieties on Him, asking for wisdom in time of struggle and temptation, equipping ourselves for the spiritual battle that we're in. Intercession, so this is now praying for the needs of others, prayer requests that other people might have, praying for their spiritual growth and walk with the Lord. And I kind of broke this out, just some other things that, as you're thinking, what can I be praying for? Praying for the church, praying for our elders, praying for the ministries of our church, praying for the growth and unity of the body. And I added there a list of things. One of the things we do, being an intern now, I get to sit in on the elder meetings, and one of the things I've enjoyed most is just the time that we have together in prayer. Before we even start the meeting, that's our focus. And always on our list of prayer requests is this list of, they call it the big six for NBC. These are the things that we want our church to be characterized by. It's a love for Christ, a hunger for the truth, a hatred of sin, a heart to pray, a zeal for the lost, and obedience in our roles. So as you're praying for the church and the growth of the body, these are things you can be having in your mind to be praying for. And be praying for evangelism, praying for those who you know that need the Lord, maybe those who you have been witnessing to, as well as, God's word to be reaching all those who are lost. And then, maybe one that's particularly hard for us sometimes is praying for leaders and the authority over us. We see this is a command from 1 Timothy 2. Praying for those in authority over us, specifically government leaders, or, praying for your boss or those who you interact with at work who have authority over you, if you're in school, teachers and all these things, these people that God has placed over us, because remember, God is the one that is giving authority to all these people. So we understand that He's put them in place, and we need to be praying for them that they would be leading wisely and fulfilling the role of government as it's laid out in the scriptures. And then lastly, kind of talking about our time in the Word as well as scripture meditation. Praying that the Lord, it says in Psalm 119, incline my heart to your testimonies. As we reflect on passages that we've read or as we're preparing to read the Word, prayer should go right alongside with that. We want to seek wisdom and understanding. We want God to be revealing the truth of His Word to us. And we know that it's the Spirit that guides us in all truth. We talked about that term, praying in the Spirit. I think there's been some confusion with that, where there's that kind of praying in tongues and kind of just saying nonsense words, and that's you're in the Spirit. If you're praying in tongues and just saying all this random nonsense, that's not what that means. We see it's the Spirit who's guiding us in all truth. So if we're praying in the Spirit, we're praying according to the truth. So I just would encourage us to have a proper understanding of what that means. And again, we've talked about conforming our will to the will of the Lord. How do we do that? It's through meditating on the Scriptures. So any questions there on the content of our prayer? Yeah.
Not a question, but a comment. A friend here at church recommended a book to me called Face to Face. It's by Ken Bola.
Face to Face. I never heard of that one.
It's a 3-month thing where it's all scripture that you pray back to God. And he does all these different categories, and he includes like a verse or two for each one, and he puts it in the first person, so you're praying it back to God. And then in the sections where it's petition or intercession, he'll give you prompts, like every week you pray for the church, every week you pray for leaders, every week you pray for your family. And so it has helped me tremendously focus my prayers, because the mind tends to wander. You know, you start thinking about what you got to do for your day or whatever, but this is right in front of me, and boom, 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 it's all scripture. And it's just been a tremendous resource. I just highly recommend.
What was the name of that book?
Face to Face. I've seen Todd Friel recommend that on his website too. So.
I have to look into that one.
Could you spell the last name?
BOA.
Yep. And I think he's got a second edition now too. So.
All right, so really quickly, with just our last few minutes, I just want to talk about we've talked about the expectation, the need for prayer, the learned nature of prayer, the content. And now finally, I just want to talk about the result of our prayer. So we want to ask that question, does the Lord truly answer prayer? And as we see verses like Matthew 7, 7 and 8, you know, we just simply need to ask and it's going to be given to us. But we have to understand that this is not kind of a name it and claim it type of mentality. God is not just a genie where we go to him and we say, hey, can I have this, this, and this? It's like, oh, sure thing. No, we've talked about this numerous times, but we are to be praying according to his will. And I have a quote, not a short quote, quite a long quote from Whitney's book on spiritual disciplines. Just because of time, I'm not going to read through all of it, but I'd encourage you to read through it, because it talks about really when we ask and receive not, you know, as we are examining our hearts and examining the motives behind our prayers, are those things truly conformed to the will of God? Are we praying for things that are going to glorify him, or are we praying for selfish motives? So when we pray and they're seemingly not answered, or seemingly God has ignored our prayers, we need to be examining ourselves and saying, you know, is my prayer according to his will, as it says in 1 John? You know, am I examining my own prayers, or am I immediately just doubting the faithfulness of God and his faithfulness to answering those prayers? So just would encourage you to read through that. But very quickly, just to close out our time here, I want to talk about some things that can hinder our prayers. And really, these have come out of everything that we've already discussed. And I found this list here on a Tim Challey's article. I linked it down there below. But these are six things, and possibly there's more, but just six things I found really helpful as we talk about what can hinder our prayers as believers. So we see the first one is selfish motives. We talked about this a few times. You know, you ask and you do not receive because you ask with wrong motives, so that you may spend what you request on your pleasure. So we need to say, you know, are we coming to the Lord with the right motives in our prayers? You know, are we being obedient to Scripture, or are we turning away from Scripture? Number two there. You know, one who turns his ear from listening to the law, even his prayer is an abomination. Do we have an unforgiving heart? It says in Mark 11, and whenever you stand praying, forgive if you have anything against anyone, so that your Father who is in heaven will also forgive you for your offenses. You know, as we look to Matthew 6 and then the prayer that the Lord offers there, you know, forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who have trespassed against us. There's an expectation that we are going to be forgiving as we have been forgiven. 1 Peter talks about family discord. You know, you husbands in the same way, live with your wives in an understanding way, as with someone weaker, since she is a woman, and show her honor as a fellow heir of the grace of life, so that your prayers will not be hindered. And we talked about, you know, one of the big six for NBC in that list is obedient to roles. We want to be living as the Lord has commanded us to live, so that our prayers are not hindered. Do we have any unconfessed sin in our lives? It says in Psalm 66, if I regard wickedness in my heart, the Lord will not hear. And we talked about being too ashamed to come to the Lord and confess our sin, but not only has he given us this grace as a means to confess our sin and receive forgiveness, but we see that it can also hinder our prayers if we're not confessing this sin. And lastly is doubt. And we see in James 1, but if any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask of God, who gives to all generously and without reproach, and it will be given to him. But he must ask in faith without any doubting, for the one who doubts is like the surf of the sea and driven and tossed by the wind. So we have to go to the Lord in prayer, understanding that he is faithful, that if we are asking things according to his will, that he will answer. So just by conclusion, and I won't read through these, but I would encourage you guys to look through this list, because this is really a list of questions that are formulated out of everything that we've just talked about. And I just want to ask you, how is your prayer life? You know, are you going to the Lord in prayer? Are you praying without ceasing? Do you have that mentality of a life characterized by going to the Lord in prayer? Do you understand your dependence on him for his grace and this means that we have, you know, through Christ, we can approach the throne of grace. We can communicate with the God of the universe, the one who authored salvation, who has saved our souls, who created and sustains us, who has done all these things. He wants to have a relationship with us, and he communicates to us through his word, and he allows us to communicate with him through prayer. So I would just ask you to examine your prayer life. Examine the motives behind your prayers. Examine your heart. You know, are you praying according to his will? I would just ask you as we leave here today to be focusing on those things, to be meditating on scripture so that we can be praying as we should. All right, let me pray. Lord, thank you again for this time. Lord, thank you for your word and just the clear direction that we have as believers, that our lives should be characterized by prayer. Lord, I pray that as we are developing our prayer life, as we are praying to you, we would understand first and foremost who you are, that we would be focusing on your character and your attributes and praising you for those things, understanding that you are holy, you are righteous, you are perfect. Lord, you are so high above us. We want to have a proper understanding of you because that's going to fuel our prayer and our praise to you. And Lord, we want to have this also tied to our meditation in the scriptures. I pray that we would not forsake either of these disciplines, knowing that without a proper understanding of scripture, we really don't understand who we're praying to or what we should be praying. So Lord, I pray that we would be people that are just hungry for your word, hungry for the truth of the scriptures, knowing who the God of the Bible is, knowing who Christ truly is, not who we think he is. Lord, that we would be praying according to your will and in the Spirit, not just as means to fulfill our every wish, but, Lord, to understand our dependence on you and our need for you in every situation. And Lord, we know that you are faithful. You are constant to give us this grace. But, Lord, you've given us this means of prayer as a means of approaching you and receiving mercy and finding grace. I pray that we would not neglect it. I pray that we would continue striving, knowing that this is a discipline. It's something we need to be working at. It's not something that comes naturally to us. Lord, again, we just do just thank you so much for this gift that you've given us of prayer. Father, we love you. Thank you so much for all that you're doing, both in our lives and the life of this church. Pray that you were honored and glorified by all that was said here today. Pray this in your name. Amen.
You've been listening to a presentation from Maranatha Bible Church in Comstock Park, Michigan. No part of this recording may be edited or distributed without prior written consent. For more information, go to mbcmi.org.